etching into sight. Each was painted to look like the sarcophagus of an Egyptian mummy, with tiny antic figures and dog-headed gods.
Goodness! Look at the god-headed dogs!
Nobody took any notice of him.
Please keep your arms inside the car at all times.
Ryan climbed in, adjusting the holster on his Sig Sauer, patting the thin-gauge metal of the carriage with his hand. Christy sat beside him, pushing her hair back off her face. A heavy restraining bar, its padding leaking and white nodules pulled down over their shoulders and locked into place.
If Traven or Larry Zepp wanted to take us out, this would be a good time and place.
That's something to think about, lover.
Dean and Kelly took the second car, with Mildred and JB behind them.
Come on, let's go, let's go!
Doc and Sky squeezed into the fourth and last Egyptian carriage, the girl giggling at something the old man had said to her.
Don't know what you mean, Doc, but you sure speak funny. You aren't like some of the other wrinklies that... Oh.
She stopped, as though she'd been on the verge of saying something she shouldn't have. The moment passed.
Enjoy your cut-through journey into the past, and say hi to Cleopatra for us.
There was a terrifying jolt as the little train began to move along the twin rails.
I read about things like this. Never thought I'd get to go on one.
Me neither. Oh, fire blast!
They gave a lurch to the right, and then the left, as the cars climbed up a steep rise. On either side there were panels, some of them torn and splintered, that had once portrayed extraordinary scenes from the imagined life of old Egypt. Most of them seemed to have shown ladies with enormous breasts and men with large swords. Ryan gritted his teeth as their car paused on the brink of the hill, inching forward. Christy gripped his hand in both of hers. Ryan closed his one eye, wincing at the sight. His last thought, a flaming anger that he'd been so easily trapped by Zap. He'd actually sat in his own execution vehicle and locked himself snugly in. As they bottomed out and roared up the next slope, he had a moment to realize that the drop hadn't been more than 100 feet, and they'd been completely safe all the way. They rushed through the warm air, faster and faster. The cars dipped and rose, the G-forces quadrupling and quartering within 15 seconds. Some of the time it felt to Ryan as if his head weighed a ton.
Corkscrew!
I don't know!
A moment later, he knew.
Sorry, Christy!
It was the nearest thing Ryan had ever experienced to making a jump through a gateway. His brain flopped loosely around inside his skull, and the snack meal he'd eaten an hour or so earlier came rising before him like the ghosts of dead enemies. He managed to clamp his mouth tightly shut, swallowing hard. Pressure clawed at his ears, and his eye felt swollen in its socket. They went around twice through 360 degrees. Then they were back the right way, powering along through another set of tight curves and dips and rises.
Oh, thank God.
Ryan lifted up the upholstered safety bar and shakily climbed back onto the platform. Christy, smiling, got out after him.
Around the world and home again, lover.
He noticed that her sentient crimson hair had curled itself into a ball at the back of her neck.
I wouldn't ride that triple bastard again for all the Jack and Deathlands. I think I'm gonna throw up.
Now that's my tough guy.
Oh, shut up.
It was a relief to see from the heightened pallor of JB's face that the armorer hadn't relished his first encounter with an antique roller coaster either. Mildred was grinning all over her face as she got out.
Boy, did that bring back some wonderful memories.
Doc was being helped out by Sky, struggling to keep a glassy smile in place.
Interesting. The double corkscrew is something that I will recall for many long winter evenings.
Kelly got out, chewing gum, looking utterly unchanged by the ride. Dean didn't move, sitting in his seat, eyes as big as pinwheels, head moving a little from side to side, as if he were listening to the entrancing melodies of the piper from the Gates of Dawn. Ryan stooped over his son.
You feeling all right, Dean?
Oh, yeah. Again, Dad. Again, please.
The second time wasn't quite as bad as the first. Only Dean and Ryan took a car, with Mildred on her own in the rear carriage. She took a rain check on the third trip around Pharaoh's Curse, and father and son rode it alone. It was just about as bad as the first time. with extreme prejudice, Ryan kept the boy company for a fourth and last ride.
Oh, God. Here it comes.
Oh, Dad, stop playing.
Altogether, Kelly took them onto five rides, all different in their effects. One had diminutive electric-powered mini-wags painted in bright colors. All you did was go around and around a slightly banked circuit less than 200 yards in circumference.
At least it doesn't send your stomach on a journey of exploration to your back teeth.
Paraglide Paradise was the most fun, even though the machinery seemed remarkably hesitant to function, and JB kept telling them how frayed some of the main support cables were.
Rusted clean through, Ryan.
Where?
Just above you.
Ryan chose not to look where the armorer was pointing, just below the tattered parachute. JB and Mildred were standing close together in a second carrier, while Doc was whispering intently in disguise here in a third one. The girl, who looked to be only about 15, kept giggling and shaking her shoulders.
I hope Doc knows what he's doing there. He could find himself out of his depth.
Kelly stayed on the ground, operating the controls that hoisted the three metal baskets high into the air over the park. Once they reached the top, they remained there for several seconds. It gave Ryan the opportunity to wreck the park and the surrounding land. He could see the central tower where they'd been given their royal audience with Larry Zapp. Near its entrance was a group of people who looked like the oldies from the Rainbow's End retirement complex. Away to the east, leading off a winding blacktop, he saw a number of small buildings with the hollow remains of several swimming pools nearby. Ryan guessed that they might be the secure compound of homes for the Wrinkleys. There was nothing beyond it but the limitless expanse of gently waving green that was the swamps. Here and there, Ryan could see the glint of sunshine on water, and in a few places far off, there were rising pillars of smoke from cooking fires where the Cajuns lived.
Over there!
Kelly threw the control lever that released the dangling capsules.
Shit!
The first 40 feet or so were in plummeting freefall. After that, a checking mechanism came into effect, slowing the descent. Cables creaked and groaned, and the carriage came to a final shuddering halt just above the ground.
Oh, I like that! Can we go on it again, please?
Kelly caught Ryan's eye.
One thing you have to remember. Boss Larry used to be a techno genius. Greatest I ever heard of. He found all this and made it work. Back in Centerpoint, there's all kinds of radios and vid devices. Boss made them run.
Doc came over in time to hear the end of the conversation, with Skye hanging on his arm, a stoned smile on her lips.
I notice that you seem to be employing the past tense in your description, Mr. Kelly.
What?
You tell us how it was, how it used to be, what the Baron was like. How are things now?
There was a wife. Before my time, before anyone's time. Some say she was a whore near Dallas. Boss used to cut through the years to the very night it happened. Fight with a crazy out the swamps. Woman took a knife meant for Boss Larry.
JB and the others were all standing around now. The armorer gazed up at Paraglide Paradise.
Things started to slip, huh?
Could say that. But he was still sort of hanging on the edge until...
Kelly looked meaningfully at the girl, Skye. A tottering Gothic ruin with minarets and crenellated towers with slitted windows. She was oblivious to Kelly's unspoken message.
So we best be careful what we ride, in case it all comes down around our ears. Glad you didn't tell me that when we were swooping up and down on the Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, or whatever it was called.
We'll go around the castle and maybe try one other ride. The Big Loop's one of the safest. Or the Helter Skelter.
Dean didn't think very much of the rambling ruin of Camelot Castle, though some of the rescued holovids were impressive enough. As they walked through the lonely, echoing corridors, with floors of crumbling plastic and rotting arches over the roof, the alcoves on either side were pits of midnight shadow. Kelly held up a hand.
Keep close. Parts of the floor aren't too safe, so don't wander away.
Something wicked this way comes.
The first alcove became fitfully illuminated as they neared it, showing a tall man in full armor.
"'Tis I, Sir Gawain, Knight of the Table Round. Welcome, fair travelers. to the castle of Camelot, home of chivalry and shrine of said table and the Holy Grail.
A second hologram figure was a woman in a long dress who twirled as she spoke.